WGCI's Doug Banks and Tom Joyner.
Last week when we gave away $10,000 of the boss's money, he was personally offended.
He means P.O.
So this Thursday, $15,000. If your birthday matches the one in this envelope, just set your radio to WGCI.
107.5 FM.
And listen Thursday morning at 7:15 for your chance to win $15,000.
This is a song that Doug Banks must have played 1 trillion times in his radio career.
And probably was enthusiastic about it each time.
All right. The great Doug Banks passed away today. He was just in Chicago over the weekend.
Yeah, Friday night he was at the Black Women's Expo.
Right. And Marv Dyson, who is a radio legend in his own right, one of the great general managers in the history of the medium, and a guy who oversaw part of, to me, the second greatest radio war in Chicago history. Behind, you know, he had the LSCFL war of the 1970s.
Oh, yeah.
And then
the
GCI-BMX war of the 80s was, yes. Just couldn't have been, just it was radio gold. And Doug Banks was a guy who, as a young kid, came from, he's from Philadelphia, started in Detroit, came to WBMX to take on the big dogs at WGCI, and he did great, right?
Yes, he did awesome. He did really, really well, and that's why I stole him away from them. forgive my voice. I'm getting over a cold, and I've been talking all day. I heard about it early this morning. I came in from the gym, and my wife said that Elroy Smith was on the phone. He was the program director at GCI. And I picked up the phone, and Elroy said, "Marv, sit down. Doug Banks died this morning." Mm. And I said, "Oh, my God." I had seen pictures of him online on Bonnie Deschong's Facebook page, and he didn't look well. And I know he was suffering from diabetes. And I guess as a result of that, he was having some kidney problems also, and he was on dialysis. And I understand he missed his last two dialysis meetings, and as far as I know, he died in his sleep on Sunday night.
Oh, my God.
God bless him.
Yeah. One of the nicest. Did you ever meet him, Rob?
Oh, my God. Not only did I meet him, it was a funny thing because I was such a huge fan of his when he was at WBMX when I was a kid. And then, I mean, I wasn't that much of a kid. I was in high school, and it was that great kind of funk revival movement that happened to music in the early 1980s. And it was just amazing to listen to him and to also listen to GCI. But BMX had this, like, you know, it was a great radio war. And he was the young insurgent, sort of the Jonathan Brandmeier of black radio in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Came in and made all these, and everybody paid attention to him. And it was just a huge deal. And then once I got in the business 5-6 years later, I got to meet him and he became a mentor to me. He was like, even though he's not that much older than me, he was a guy that was like, all right, here's what you got to do. He was one of those guys that just breathed radio.
Right. But you know, it's funny when you look in social media today, and a lot of people obviously had a huge impact because people are talking about "Thanks for the Laughs" on the ride home, or grew up listening to you, or you were part of the village that raised me, was one of my favorites that I saw, which I thought was great. Like, you know, he contributed to people's lives. He inspired them. But then there are also so many, you said just what like Ro said, "Thanks for taking time to mentor me. Thanks for inspiring me and helping me."
That's how he was. He was one of the nicest people I ever hired and worked with, and just an incredible person. And when he went into syndication, he told me he was going to go off the radio and go into syndication, and I tried to talk him out of it, and I invited him to dinner. I took him to dinner, and when he got to the restaurant, I had $1 million in Monopoly money on the table and a miniature Porsche automobile. I said, "Doug," and I had the contract already made up, and I said, "Doug, sign this contract now, and I can make this money real and this car real tomorrow." And Doug said, "Marv, I would love to stay, but this is an opportunity I cannot pass up," because, you know, his main man was Tom Joyner, and whatever Tom did, Doug tried to do it also. And he said, "I can't pass up the opportunity to be on syndication along with my turntable brother, Tom Joyner."
And they were rivals in the beginning, which is, I think, one of the great stories too, because they were
incredible rivals.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I took him, because he was giving GCI a fit.
Right.
And I said, "I need to get this man on my air." So I finally got him hired. And the rest is really history.
And you took a guy, and we're getting a little radio inside here, but this is one of those things in radio, which is what Marv did was he stole him away, which of course addition by subtraction. He basically buried WBMX at that point, which was you know owned by a family owned radio station. This is back in the day when they were. I mean,
Egmont Saunderly.
Right, and here's one of the problems.
It was
the WBM
people's home in Oak Park.
Right, it was in the Oak Park Arms. It was at the. used to have to take the service elevator where the trays of food were being delivered to the old people up to the radio station. And
how
it's,
did you know all this?
And because, well, because it smelled like like a disinfectant in
like old people.
Like old people smell like old people. And we're getting there, Marv, so we can say this. I don't think it was so, and then you're taking down to Gleaming Michigan Avenue. And you know, WGCI was a gigantically important radio station.
And I think
the other piece of that too was you got hired, and I remember this happening because I was working for ABC Radio at the same time. That was during the OJ trial. And he got stolen away, during that in 1995 at that moment. And John McConnell, who was the executive at ABC who took him, had said, "Hey, do you know this Doug Banks guy?" I go, "Oh, my God, Doug Banks." And they wanted to get him for SMN, Satellite Music Network, which was going to be the purveyor of, they were going to syndicate his show. And they were like, I go, "You think he'd work in syndication?" "Oh, hell yes, he would work in syndication."
What a break.
Because there was a – because remember, you had Tom Joyner, and this is the other thing that Marv did that was amazing. You had Tom Joyner who did a show – he did a in Dallas, and then an afternoon show here.
Right.
And he would fly.
Years.
Why, Marv, answer me this question. Why would you make him fly when you had satellite technology?
Back then, we didn't have satellite technology originally. And then when it finally came in, Ro, he stopped flying. He flew for maybe 2 years back and forth, Monday through Friday. And then when that hit, we put that on, and he only flew in like 2 or 3 days a week. And we satellited from Dallas. But the reason the Tom Joyner, Doug Banks thing really came about was really because of WGN radio. Because I remember back then I was listening to WGN in the mornings because I'm a radio junkie. And I said, WGN always wins. And my mom told me, "Honey, you need to look at this. They have a heavy hitter in morning drive and in afternoon. Black radio, you all only have heavy hitters in the morning." So I said, "I'm going to get a heavy hitter for afternoon drive." And that's why I got Tom. I had Doug in the morning and Tom in the afternoon, and we kicked butt.
Oh, my God, did you ever. And really have never given it up either. I mean, GCI has been the powerhouse of Chicago radio for decades as a result. I think, there's stations that still live on the legend of those great talent. I mean, I think WGN certainly does, right? We stand on the shoulders of all these other giants, and WGCI does. And now, and BMX became V103. So
V103 is like the leading station here in Chicago now.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it has moved out of the old person's home in Oak Park.
Where is it now?
Now it's down to this beautiful cluster of buildings over here that house the whole portfolio of iHeartRadio.
Right. The Clear Channel iHeart.
Yeah, the Death Star of radio. Yeah. It's basically Darth Vader sitting back there right now. Hey, another guy that we lost actually this year, Ty Wansley.
Oh yeah, I hired him too.
Yeah, was a guy that had worked at BMX. I had a BMX star card. Do you remember what that was, Marv? Remember?
Yes.
And you guys, you'd get a credit card from WBMX. Then you guys went and you followed on.
You came up with the gold card.
The gold card, right? You had to the GCI gold card, and then you would have. And remember, there were some. I mean, there was another great talent too, Marco Spoon, who worked at BMX.
Yeah.
And you guys,
he's still on the radio somewhere. I don't know where, but I ended up hiring him too.
Yeah. You stole, it was just an amazing thing. He just kept picking them off. And all I was thinking was, and if Marv knew how much I loved that music and how good I was as a club DJ playing that music, he'd have hired me too.
If only he had known. Yeah. Well, Marv's got such an eye for talent.
Yeah. I mean, it was
just new good people. That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the special talent, and I think you have it, Ro. There are certain people on the radio who, when people are listening to the radio, the person they are listening to makes them feel like they are talking only to them. And so few DJs and on-air personalities have that. Oh, and man. I can count you among the four or five that I know that
oh,
have.
Oh, my God. I'm going to cry now, Marv. Don't do that, Marv.
It's that true. And so didn't you write me a letter when you graduated from Columbia?
I graduated from a school in Ohio, actually, and I did. I wrote Marv a letter, and I begged for a job. And so I meet Marv. I don't know. Was it maybe 10 years later or something like that? We were already.
But I returned your call.
Oh, you did. Marv is the only guy. Marv is the only. And Marv was so sweet. And my demo tape was perhaps the worst demo tape in the history of demo tapes.
It's one of those things you can't even listen to this day, probably.
It was, right.
Because I know that about my TV reel. Oh, at the beginning. Like,
oh, God. I was this disaffected. I invented millennialism, I think. I was so disinterested sounding on the tape. And Marv called me back. And I get this call from, you know, Marv Dyson. He goes, you know, a woman calls and goes, hello, Marv Dyson's calling for you. Hold on. And I'm like, Marv Dyson's calling for me?
So, I bet you were dying.
Oh, my sphincter slammed shut.
And oh,
And he was so sweet about it. And then, like, I don't know, was it 10 or 12 years later or whatever? Things were going really well for me. And I saw you at an event, and I rushed up to you, and I'm like, you were the only guy. And I sent out, you know, hundreds of tapes. The only executive to call me back.
Uh-huh. I remember you told me that, and I felt so honored because so many people just don't remember who gave them their first break.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember those that gave me mine. And as much as I can, I try to give back.
Yeah.
That's really all it's about.
That is really all.
Very cool.
Yeah.
But now I'm retired, and I'm sitting at 2800 North Lakeshore Drive looking out at the lake, and I'm loving life.
Good for you.
I know.
How old were you when you retired?
It's been since 2004, so whatever that is, and I'm now 78 years old, and I have a financial interest in 11 radio stations right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I'm not out of radio, but I'm just not doing it on an everyday basis anymore.
Right.
I don't do anything on an everyday basis except eat well and go to the gym. That's
you know, and Marv is in great shape,
dream.
Too. Yeah, and the thing, you mentioned Elroy Smith, the program director, too, longtime program director. For Clear Channel iHeart, he's another one of those guys that such talent that came into this town, and Elroy had worked his way through a number of radio stations. Matter of fact, I lived next door to Elroy for a short period of time, and he had a radio station in his house that was actually on the air in the Bahamas, wasn't it? I think it was that where it was.
Yes, he owned a station where was it? Because he was from. God, I can't remember.
It's somewhere in the Caribbean.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was from there, and he bought a radio station there, and he had it for maybe 4 or 5 years. And because he couldn't be there, he ended up selling it because he couldn't manage it correctly.
Oh, no, it's Bermuda. Bermuda. It's Bermuda.
It's not the,
you're right. It's Bermuda, not the Bahamas. And I walked in, and this inspired me to build a radio station when I eventually got to this position in my house, which I very rarely use, but I like having it there because I walked in this room and it was like the coolest thing I'd ever seen. These guys did radio, and I think that they, because it's, some of the bifurcation and segregation of Chicago.
Yeah.
But if you realize the Chicago's contribution to black radio in America, and that's what it's called, with the possible exception of BLS in New York, there is no other radio stations like those two here that have contributed more, I think, to America. And Marv, you're the reason for it.
Mm.
Thank you. That's very nice of you to say. And the reason I did it was my mom and dad were in radio. My dad courted my mother because he had a live show on WCFL back in the early 30s. And my mom was on WBE for like 12 or 15 years. And my mom used to always tell me, look, if you ever get into radio and you manage and you're running a black radio station, make it a radio station that black people can be proud of.
Hmm.
And that's all I tried to do the whole time. And my younger brother, Lon, worked at WLS in the news department. He was the assistant news director for a number of years.
Lon Dyson is another legend.
Yeah,
I remember him. Yeah.
And when he left there, I brought him back over to WGCI, and he did a show on the AM station, and he was really incredible. He's dead now, and I miss him every day. But he was a giant. He was the man in terms of black radio. He really was.
Yeah, Marv, thank you so much for remembering Doug Banks. And it's an incredible loss. One of the great talents. One of the giants. Of the radio industry.
And so
Doug
young.
One of the nice guys, too. Truly a nice guy.
Right.
He really was.
An industry not known for that, by the way. I think it's easy to say. But yeah. He really is. He really is. All right, Marv, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Marv.
Take care, guys.
All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Go rest your voice now. That is, I got a little radio geeky there, but Doug Banks would have, this is exactly the sort of tribute that the Doug Banks would love, because he was one of those guys that just lived and breathed the business.
I was just so impressed by how many people he helped, you know, because the people came out to social media and basically said what he did and how he mentored so many other people coming up in the business. I think that says a lot about a person.
He was almost never wrong, too, which is really amazing.
What do you
amazing.
Mean, almost never wrong?
Well, I mean, it was like, you know, when he'd give you advice, it was like spot on. You know, I was never wrong with me. I don't know. Maybe he was wrong with something. I don't know. I have no idea. But he actually had a stellar career, so I don't think he even made a mistake. And you know, giving up the big money to stay here to go to ABC worked out to be great for him, and he made a great life in Dallas and everything. So, all right. And as we said, Doug Banks, radio legend, dead at the age of 57. It was announced this morning.